Thank you, Uncle Bill. With that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have to tell you, we are on our fifth week, if you can believe it, of this virtual worship. And I have to tell you, I miss so much the people I see in front of me while we're doing this, but I have to tell you how much I miss having the choir behind me. Every time the choir is off, there's like a piece of me that feels missing not having them up here with me, because it really feels like we're a team, and then all of a sudden here I am, and I'm missing like 90% of the team. And so in honor of the choir, I wanted to start with this opening story of a church that was in East Texas, and it was Easter morning, and the choir was processing in with all the pomp and circumstance. What were they singing? But they were singing, "Up from the grave he arose." We know that one, right? "Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose. I don't have a choir, but I'm so thankful to have a music staff here. Thought maybe on this Easter Sunday I'd surprise you and sing, because if you're part of Torrance First, you know Pastor Stacy does not sing. But here they're coming in, singing that song and processing in, and one of the women's probably a soprano. It's got to be a soprano, because she had the highest and thinnest of heels, right, Heidi? That sounds like a soprano, right? Yep, she says yes. These thin heels, and here she's walking, and she's got her face in her book, and she's not paying attention that she went right over the heater vent in the floor, and that thin little heel stuck in it. Well, she didn't want to stop the procession. She didn't want to miss a beat, and so just right out of that heel, she went and kept on moving. Well, just not that far behind her was one of the bass singers, and without missing a beat, what did he do? But he bent over to pick up that shoe. And unlike the plan that he thought he had, what came up with the shoe but the vent? So here he goes, carrying along this vent in his shoe, singing "Up from the grave he arose." But unfortunately, there was a tenor not that far behind him, and the tenor wasn't paying attention, as his head was also in his book, and right down into that empty hole did he go. Well, the song finished, and as the song finished and the quiet began, what did he shout up from under that vent? But he said, "Get out of the way, I'm coming up." And one of the little girls sitting around, not missing a beat as well, said, "Come on up, Jesus, we'll stay out of your way." Hi, you didn't even laugh. I told her this morning, she's my laugh track, that when nobody else laughs, Heidi laughs for me. What is it? It's a story of wonder. It's a story of joy. But it's also a story of surprise, right? And these are three of the main elements of the Easter story, right? And this morning we come out of the Gospel of John, and despite us not being people who are supposed to have favorites, the Gospel of John's telling of the Easter story is absolutely my favorite. The moments in it all just weave together and create this magical story of resurrection, one that we can connect with, one that we dive into, one that we can get lost in, and though we know the ending, though we know what's going to happen, we just love to hear the story over and over again. Easter is a story that begins in darkness and sorrow and pain and ends in surprise and joy. And here in the Gospel of John, unlike the Synoptic Gospels, the other three, it literally does start in darkness. As unlike the other three that start at dawn, John says, "When it was still dark outside." While it was still dark. Have you been in those moments? Those dark moments in life? Feeling that way that Mary Magdalene felt as she was heading to the tomb? Moving along, your feet keep going, but maybe you're not even thinking about it because you're caught so much in the emotion that you're feeling, caught so much in what's going on, that is surrounding you with this darkness, wondering when the light will come. And Mary, she gets to the tomb. And not only is it dark, but when she gets to the tomb, it gets even darker. When she thought things were as bad as they could get, they got even worse. As Jesus wasn't there, as she thought that somebody had stolen his body, and the emotion just got deeper. You know those times when it seems like life couldn't get any worse, and then all of a sudden it did. I know last year, and this is not tragedy, but in my life it was tragedy. Here we are in Holy Week, okay? Holy Week, like the busiest week for a pastor. And what happens at the beginning of the week? But all of a sudden, what do I discover? But Madison Joy has head lice. Oh, I have never dealt with these little suckers before, but it was bad. And it was like right before bedtime, like 9 o'clock at night that I discovered this. And so all of a sudden it's like, well, where do I get this stuff? What do I have to get? Ah! And so I run out to the store and I get the stuff and I'm treating her head and trying to follow all the directions. And I think, oh geez, I should check the other two. And what do I find? Kylie's got them and Aiden's got them. And I'm like, oh Lord, have mercy. So here I'm trying to figure out everything and I'm just like, bugs are the last thing I need during Holy Week. Of course, the next day I successfully get all three of them to school and we're gonna have to do the follow-up treatments and everything. And then what do I discover? It's not just lice. But then I discover, what do the dogs have but fleas that have come into the house? And I'm thinking, Lord, Holy Week's got enough on its plate, and here you're gonna have me tackling bugs in every which form. I thought it was the end of the world and getting worse. But what do you know? The end of the week was Easter, the most beautiful celebration of the year. And as the music begins and the story is told, all that other stuff just fades away. All that other stuff pales in comparison to what's happening in that celebration. And here we see that with Mary, right? Here she thought the darkness had gotten darker. Here she thought things couldn't get any worse. What's gonna come after this? Peter and the other disciple come and they look in and they're heartbroken. They think the body's been stolen. They don't stick around. They head back in their mourning and grief and pain. But Mary sticks around. She stays in that dark place. And what happens because of staying in that dark place, staying right there, unwilling to move, but a magical, mysterious moment, right? She sees Jesus. But at first, she doesn't recognize him. At first, she doesn't know it's him. At first, she thinks it's the gardener, wondering if he's the one that's taken Jesus. But there he is. In her moment of pain and sorrow and struggle, Jesus is right there. Sometimes that happens with us. We're in those struggling moments. We're in those dark places. We're in pain. We're in need of healing. And all we want is to feel the presence of God. And sometimes it feels absent. Sometimes we wonder, where is God right now? Where is God when I need him most? And oftentimes, probably most times, actually probably all the time that we're feeling this, it's not that God's not there. It's not that God's not with us. But we're in this Mary moment where we're just not recognizing God because of the form and the voice that God is using. And we're just not recognizing the presence of the divine with us. Think about the beloved poem Footprints, right? The person that's questioning God, seeing their life with two sets of footprints, theirs and God's, walking along the beach. And they question God, right? How we as human beings question God, thinking that we know more than God. But here, there's that questioning of God. In those most painful moments, in those most difficult times, why did it become one set of footprints? Why is it in those times that you left me? Why was I feeling like Mary? Not having you there when I needed you most. And how does God answer? God says, my child, in those moments and when I was carrying you. Sometimes it's just that we're not recognizing God. Sometimes our struggle is blinding us. Sometimes our emotion is getting the best of our hearts. But the wonderful and brilliant Desmond Tutu says this about the darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. You cannot see darkness. Darkness cannot exist without light. Darkness only comes when everything else is gone. But hear these words. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. How is it that in those dark places we see the light of our risen Savior? How is it in the times that we struggle most that we see Christ? How is it right now when Easter morning all we want is to be sitting in the pew and singing together and seeing our friends? Where do we see the light? We see it by imitating Mary, by seeing the most important things that she did on that first Easter morning and embracing them and living them. How did she go from darkness and sorrow to joy and celebration? The first thing that she did is she stuck around, right? Those other disciples, they went running off. They fled that place in their moment of pain and confusion. But Mary stayed right where she was. Psalm 37 tells us, be patient and wait for the Lord to act. Be patient and wait for the Lord. Notice it didn't say be patient and wait for the Lord to appear. The Lord is there, but be patient and wait for the Lord to act. How in those moments of needing God, how in those moments of darkness and sorrow, how do we just stay in a place with God and wait for the Lord to act? To wait for the Lord, like Jesus, to say our name with such tenderness that it washes us with love and peace that can only come from God. But we have to be patient. We have to wait. We have to give that moment for God to be able to act. But it goes more than that, doesn't it? Because it's not just that she stuck around, but it's that Mary listened. And listening isn't always with our ears, right? So oftentimes, the deepest of listening is not with our ears, but it's actually with our heart, right? Our listening can come with our eyes. Our listening can come with all of our senses. It's like in those moments when we ask a friend, how are they doing? And they say, I'm fine. And first of all, anybody who ever says they're fine, they are not fine, y'all. That is the code word for I need to tell you it's okay, but really it's not. And if we just listen to that word, right, we say everything's okay and we can move on. But if we look at their demeanor, if we look at their posture, if we look at what's going on and we listen with all of our senses, we'll be able to understand what's going on and we can help them. How do we listen to God with all of our senses? To use everything that we have to hear God's voice and to hear God's presence. In the book of James, the first chapter, it reminds us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. What's the only thing it tells us to be quick to do? To listen. And to listen, we got to silence ourselves. To listen, we got to go back to that patient waiting. To listen, we have to have that deep paying attention with all of our senses to be able to hear and feel and see the Lord with us. And once we're listening, what is the third and final thing we see of Mary? It's not just that she stuck around. It's not just that she listened, but it's that she believed. When she heard that name, her heart believed that Christ had risen. She believed that Christ was there in front of her. She believed in the resurrection and was without doubt at that moment. How do we seek to believe in such a way? The story goes of a missionary that was down in South America, and he learned of a tribe that had this disease that was running through it. And to be able to get to the hospital where they could get care, they had to cross a river. But this tribe believed that going in the river, that touching the water would cost them their life. And so they would not cross it, even to cure themselves of this disease. And the missionary saw this, and he went into the tribe, and he used his words to try to tell them, it's safe, it's okay, cross the river. But they wouldn't believe him. So he took him down to the river, and he began to touch the water, and he said, see, the water isn't hurting me, it's okay. They still didn't believe him. So he waded into the water, and he stood out in it, and he said, look, the water is safe, come and follow me. They still didn't believe him. Finally, he thought the only thing he could do was to dive down into that water, swim to the other side, and emerge on the other bank, safe and sound. And he did just that. And when those tribe members saw that he made it safely to the other side and no harm came from them, they celebrated with joy on the bank and crossed that river. Why? Because they saw that he had done it and they believed. What did Christ do for us? Christ dove into the water of death and emerged on the other side, resurrected, so that we would believe in him and gain eternal life through following him. This Easter morning, we are reminded that the light overpowers the darkness. We are reminded that Christ is always with us. We are reminded that there is always hope when we have faith in God. So how is it that on this Easter day and on the days to come, that we find ourselves patiently waiting, deeply listening, and faithfully believing in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we celebrate and honor you on this Easter morning, giving you thanks for the power of your story, the power of your story that is victory over death, the Easter story that reminds us that nothing is impossible with you. The Easter story that reminds us that the light shines in even the darkest of places. Our Easter story that reminds us that you love us to death and find new life on the other side. We pray this morning that you will help us to wait patiently for you when we are finding ourselves in dark and troubled places. We pray that you will help us to deeply listen for your voice that speaks our name, to comfort us, to guide us, and to give us the peace that we need, no matter the circumstance. And we ask you that you will help our hearts to believe in all that we have heard and all that we have seen, so that the faith that we have can be infectious to those around us, so that we can spread the good news that Christ has risen today and that there's hope for all of us. We give you thanks for all of this. In your name, in the name of your risen Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.